This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Hello. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
You're on the air.
And good evening to Don.
Shutting my big, ugly, disgusting, fat, ignorant mouth.
That really made me laugh at the time. Anything you want to play, before we get started, anything you want to play Michael? It's been a very serious day, a little stuffy, Anthony. Anything you maybe want to play Michael that he missed again while he was gone?
I want it to be the cream filling of a Kirkshen sandwich.
Oh, my God.
What are your thoughts on that?
Strange. It's troubling. I don't exactly know what it means. I'm sure that Tim would be beside himself.
What else do you want to play for this guy?
The Buckner play is like an etched in my moment kind of mind.
That's awful. That's concerning.
Anything else, Anna?
The birds! I can't even think!
Regis, coming back to life.
See that?
It just is what it is, Peeper.
I gotta tell you that one.
He's rummaging through your pants.
It's why you really got to decide a certain age when you can leave the kids home alone.
Because anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Well, guys, I don't want to stay too long here because we just did an hour and a half on it, but the Yankees post-All-Star break opener against the Red Sox on Thursday night postponed because of positive COVID-19 tests among New York pitchers Jonathan Loaiza, Nestor Cortes Jr., and Wandy Peralta.
Did you see this from Marley Rivera, Peter?
Go ahead.
Rafael Devers of the Red Sox just told her that he was asked to not do interviews pregame because one of the Yankees who went to the All-Star game tested positive. Devers said that he's going to undergo testing this afternoon.
One of the Yankees who went to the All-Star game.
Yep.
Go ahead, Michael. That's Aaron Judge?
Well, the three that went, Chapman, Judge, and... And Cole.
Well, I mean, again, just the logic, I guess, would tell you because there's guys in the bullpen that have tested positive. Would it be Chapman?
Does that mean the players who went to the All-Star game were all All-Stars?
What?
I don't know if anybody went to the All-Star game.
As a fan?
That was as a fan.
Well, does anybody go to all? So in baseball, no one goes to All-Star weekends to be there?
Pete Alonso went. Just to be in the home run derby, he wasn't an all-star. And speaking of that, Peter, that's our Met report today.
Okay.
By Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
Beautifully done.
Terrific.
Yeah. The Met report brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly.
So the Yankees, not the only ones dealing with COVID-19 potential spikes. Team USA is dealing with a tough scenario as they prepare for the Tokyo Olympics, which overall has got its handful of COVID issues. Bradley Beal was placed in protocol yesterday, and he was ruled out of the Olympics today.
Now, this is a dumb question, so maybe you can answer it. When did the Olympics start?
A couple weeks.
Why is he ruled out? I don't think it's a couple of weeks.
No.
Week and a half? End of next week. Next Friday.
Next week?
Is it next Friday night is the opening ceremonies, perhaps? Next Friday night, yeah. So it's too soon. Jeremy Grant was also placed into protocol. Though Popovich expressed optimism that he would be able to move forward. There's a game tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern time. The Australian team is under very strict protocols, even stricter than the Americans. Sunday, U.S. is supposed to play against Spain. And then they're supposed to head out Monday for Japan. Our goal overall is we're trying to get everybody safely to Tokyo, Popovich said. Strange times, guys. Very strange,
strange
times.
Strange times indeed.
Let's talk about something fun with regard to sports and the NBA and basketball, and that would be last night when, after having what was generally a pretty tough game for him, the Bucks found themselves finally getting over the hump. I mean, I was worried they would never get the lead last night against Phoenix. It seemed like whenever they got close, they were denied. Eventually, they get a two-point lead. But here comes a big opportunity for Phoenix to tie the game. Let's go to Mike Breen.
Now Booker with Tucker on him. Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis.
People freaked out. I mean, if you didn't see it, Booker throws a beautiful oop up for Ayton.
Yeah.
And Giannis turns around and just, it's like he has no hesitation defensively. Just goes right to the rim. Had no doubt he was going to block this oop, and that's exactly what he did. Right.
And that'll be forever remembered. If they come back and win this series, Peter, that is going to be his signature moment. And unfortunately, when if the Bucks win and you think about CP3, that awful turnover late too, where he fell down, lost the ball. You wonder if that's going to kind of stick to him too.
Oh, it will. I mean, he's never been able to win, and if you know, it looks like they had this, you know, firmly in hand. He played terribly, and you know, we had Legler on earlier, and you know, they're picking him up at 75 feet of the 94 feet, so he's working every single time against Drew Holiday just to get the ball up, and you could, the guy's 36 years old. So how this goes, I wonder if that will dictate. You know, everybody says he's going to just opt out of his $40 million contract next year. Really? What if he's awful the rest of the way? Does he opt out?
Well, he had been so
good.
Somebody
giving him $100 million over 3 years? Would the Knicks be that energized to give him $100 million over 3 years?
No.
After he fizzled out in the finals? I don't know. But maybe he comes back game five and is great.
I mean, it is a shame to judge a guy in the last few games of a season when he's, you know, 36 years old. He's a major reason why they're in the situation they're
in. Oh, I get it, though. But when you talk about opting out of a $40 million guarantee to get $100 million, you're going to be judged on every second of the finals.
He had 10 last night. He had 19 the game before that. And 23 the game before that. It's been a steady decrease every single game. And, Don, it's pretty funny when you think about the conversations that we've had on this show and my sort of confidence that, you know, Michael, I don't know if you heard, but the after they were down 2-0, I said I felt good about where the Bucks were, which I was maligned for and yelled at, particularly by Alan Hahn. And now here we are, fast forward, and you love where the Bucks are. Yeah, absolutely love where they are. They held serve. They have momentum, and they're going back to Phoenix with a chance to try to steal this thing.
I was wondering if you guys felt this way. Family went to bed early last night. I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm bored out of my mind. And I'm just saying, I'm only watching this game because I have a show tomorrow. And then I got engaged. Mid-third, it turned for me. The whole series turned.
Michael, it's a great point. Last night, I was sitting there waiting, and Andrew and I talked about this yesterday. Are we going to get, like, not a competitive series, but a competitive game? And we got it. You're right. It was around midway through the third. It turned on. We also asked the question yesterday during the show. Andrew asked me, or I believe, what would the Bucks do if Giannis didn't show up? Now, I bet my life he would score at least 25. He cut my life close. He scored 26. Mm-hmm. But the answer was, Don, we got it right. I mean, Middleton stepped up and scored 40. And the bottom line is the Bucks can win without Giannis scoring 40 if they get help from Middleton or Holiday.
Now, before you break your arm patting yourself on the back, you could look at it the other way. That if this is going to be just a home series where the home team wins every game and the Suns win in seven. Because, Michael, the conversation when you were away was down 2-0, Peter felt the Bucks were still in good shape.
Right.
And I understood where he was coming from because the Bucks have been so good at home. And they went and they won their two games at home. But the Suns almost won that game last night.
They did.
So you could be the Suns and say, all right, listen, we almost took a 3-1 series lead. If on Saturday they blow the Bucks out, aren't you going to feel exactly the way you felt after they went up 2-0?
Yep.
You will. But I will say this. Here's the one difference. Would you guys agree? This is the first time we're now going back to Phoenix for game five. This is the first time Phoenix has had to feel pressure. They have to win that game. They cannot somehow lose and go back to Milwaukee for game six down 3-2. Michael, you agree?
Yeah, because Milwaukee looks like a bear to play at. I mean, that Breen at some point said this building is shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real home court advantage. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Don.
And as Phoenix has been.
Yeah, Phoenix has been great too.
The Suns and four guy, what happens to him now? He has a bobblehead and he, you know, it's 2-2 after four. What does that mean? What is he?
He puts it down!
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
Now, I'm going to make an outrageous statement, I think. The official who was closest to the non-call on Booker must be suspended publicly.
It's publicly suspended. How does that work?
Well, here's what we say. He gets announced because everybody knows who the official was. I don't know who was there, but you know, you just look at the tape. Say, listen, Billy Jean over here really blew this call, and he's going to be suspended for the first month of next season. Because if you're going to miss a call like that, it's just unacceptable. As Legler said, that's unacceptable because Booker was intentionally fouling him.
Yeah, you don't even analyze the foul, right? Because how many times do you see late in the game the foul to get you to the line? And you look at, they blow the whistle even almost before the contact.
That's like,
exactly. It's a fait accompli, right? So you almost don't even analyze the foul. Like, that's how bad it was. I don't know if you got to publicly flog the guy, but
I love the publicly flog.
Just take him off the series and you know, and that's it.
What's better than a public flogging, though?
Well, because he made a mistake, Michael, but you know, people make mistakes. I don't know how he missed that.
You know what?
Would
you want your heart surgeon to make a mistake?
Well, no, but no, I don't want my heart surgeon to make a mistake.
That's a great point, Michael. That's a great point you make.
Thank you.
But this isn't heart surgery.
Well, it's pretty important to the people playing and the fans.
Right.
It's a high
pressure
job.
What about the bettors?
You know what? When Derek Jeter hit his 3,000th home run, if I fumbled over the call, I'd be called on the carpet. There's certain things you can't mess up.
Well, I don't know if you'd be – no, wait a minute. If you messed up that call, you know, it's not like Yes is going to have a press release saying that you've now been suspended for the first month of next season because you're awful at what you do.
It's actually much less consequential.
Right,
though.
So I
last
think
night
all you have
money.
To do is just pull him off the rest of this series.
But he might not be on another game. So another game, he must be pulled off a month.
Well, no. Well, what I think you do is you talk to him about it. You missed it and say, I'm sorry, I can't have my officials miss calls like that on national television during the finals. You're not working in the playoffs until you prove to me you're good again.
We and want him publicly flogged.
I'll put you in Sacramento on a Tuesday in November, but guess what? Your days of officiating a postseason game for a while are over.
And for those that don't think, like, big moments in all sports are judged differently. If he had four fouls, that's called. They were soiling their pants about fouling out Devin Booker. It had to come down to that. There's no way that you missed that call unless you're blind. There's no way you could miss that call. So he had to know that Booker had five fouls.
Right.
He didn't want to foul him out.
And to me, that's suspendable.
I agree.
And you know how I know that? Because look what happened to Tim Peel, the referee in the NHL, when a mic picked him up saying that he had a makeup call, which we all know exists, but you never own. And he was an established official for a long time. He was done. In his final season, they suspended the rest of the year. You're done because you can't do that. So if he ever admitted, oh, I would have called it if he had four fouls, but with five fouls, I'm not calling it, that's suspendable.
Yeah.
Now
can I bring up one other thing about last night that should I don't know if –
Yes, you can. Let me just – last thing on that, guys, on the no call. How big a story is it if the Suns win that game narrowly and Booker plays a role down the stretch?
Well, then it's looked at as a corrupt game. They're lucky.
They're really lucky. All right, sorry, what were you going to say?
Did you guys get the same chills as I did seeing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson walk into that arena?
Oh, that was awesome.
I mean, not only is it the last Bucks championship – those are two of the greatest players who ever breathed air, ever. And they're still with us, and they're there, and they're engaged, and they're active, and I thought it was awesome.
I loved it.
Now, I don't understand Kareem's sudden love for the Bucks. I mean, he forced his way out to go to the Lakers. But now, you know,
it's a long
rewriting
time
history a little bit, a long time ago.
Some things you move past from.
I don't know if you move past that. That kind of sunk the franchise for a while until Bob Lanier.
I wonder, I'm sure it's happened, but I was thinking about this last night. I didn't look it up. Maybe I can look it up for tomorrow.
Please do.
You've got Milwaukee hasn't won a championship in 50 years, and the Suns have not won a championship in their 53 years. When was the last time you had two teams go for a championship in that kind of scenario?
Now, Peter, does this
scream? Never won in 50-plus years, and their last win was in 50 years.
Does this scream for a Don and Dick show? I mean, it's almost a Don and Dick,
you know, oh my gosh,
entire episode.
You know what, Don? I'm glad you brought that up.
I'll let you continue, Peter, but I have to say this. Michael doesn't realize how he cuts me to my core and my soul. Basically, what you're saying is, I'm Richard in Manhattan with a show. I'm no different than Richard, but I just happen to be on this show.
Basically, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Richard, I think, is a really provocative caller.
I think he is, Richard, I love you, but they're making fun of you.
Oh, no. What are you saying? What?
What are you saying?
We have an open for the guy.
That's not making fun.
You're just
that's
saying that Richard, I love Richard. I'm just saying that.
Everything I'm saying is great.
I jokingly say that I'm here because it's a Hail Mary. You know, it's Flutie against Miami.
I thought you were serious.
Michael's confirming.
Hey, can I send out birthday wishes, guys? Can I send out birthday wishes?
Is it to Jim Jones from Dipset?
No. Oh, it's to Laura Benanti. I'm a big fan. Broadway star Laura Benanti.
You weren't on, Michael, but today's David's final.
Who is?
My brother.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, wait, Buster only is on the phone. He has an update for us. Buster, what do you have?
So Aaron Judge and Kyle Gashioka and Gio Urshela are the other three Yankee players in protocol. And because Judge was at the All-Star game, that has triggered contact tracing basically for all the other All-Stars. Some Red Sox players during batting practice, you know, were told that they were going to go in for testing. Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez. So dominoes going all over the place.
Do we know, Buster, if the three guys that you named, if any of them were not vaccinated?
I do not know that for sure.
Okay. And we don't know if any of them have it. We just know they're all in protocol.
We know that they're all in protocol. And then tomorrow we're going to get, when they get the second round of testing, then we'll know for sure.
And do we know the status of the rest of the series?
We do not know that. Major League Baseball, I think, wants the full context tomorrow after they get the test that were done today back tomorrow before making that decision.
Thanks for checking in, Buster.
Thank you, Buster.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. So what was it? Higashioka, Judge.
Urshela and Judge.
And Urshela. Wow. Mm-hmm. Goodness. And also Boone earlier today said that when Gleyber Torres supposedly added that was a false positive. So he didn't have it.
Okay. Well, listen, all the conversation we've had today, the back and forth, you just hope everybody's okay.
That's the bottom line.
Can we all agree on that?
Of course. And now you've got somebody that was at the All-Star game, and they're all together, they're all interviewed together, they're all in the same room together, they're all shaking hands on the line when they're introduced. I mean, is this going to shut down baseball for a minute?
No, it very well may. I mean, you're going to have – I would think there's going to be other postponements. There may be other games that are played, but I can't believe that this will be the only postponement. By the way, Twitter coming through, as usual, the last time a scenario like that in 2016, Cubs-Indians. Cubs 108 years, Indians 68.
Wow.
I'm checking. I'm learning right now, Michael, about Laura Benanti.
Oh.
Should I look this up?
Well, I just didn't know who she was, and Michael is such a...
She's extraordinary. And Jody knows how much I like Laura Benanti and bought me tickets to go see The Music Man. And, of course, because my luck with Broadway shows, the part of whatever, as Laura Benanti is off today, every time it happens...
That didn't happen with that, too, did it?
Yeah, it did. I couldn't be more honest. It happened to me with Nathan Lane, happened to me with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and happened to me with Benante. And I was more crushed about Benante than any of the other ones.
But the other two are like the top two of missing somebody. I mean, those are pretty significant. I
felt that when I finally got Springsteen on Broadway tickets, that they'd say the part of Bruce Springsteen will be played by Stevie Van Zandt. I just expected it to happen.
Springsteen and Jay is confirmed.
Oh, Jody said it was My Fair Lady. She was listening, so she said it's My Fair Lady. She got me those tickets to see Laura Benante, and boom, she was off that day. So happy birthday, Laura!
Wow,
she's an extraordinary talent.
I believe you remember
the Matthew Perry vehicle, where you know he was part of a group, a psyche.
Friends. What was it called?
Friends. You know which one I'm talking about, Don.
She was the
therapist.
All right, you guys think about that for a second while we close this out. Jordan Spieth shot a first round 65. He's in second place behind Louis Oosthuizen after one round.
Oosthuizen.
Oh, an official date finally after the COVID rescheduling of Fury Wilder. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, the trilogy showdown is now going to be October 9th in Las Vegas. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday, July 15th.
Go
and
on.
And Jody said the name of the show is Go On.
I watched it.
It was pretty good. Anyway, please, I hope everybody is okay. That's the bottom line. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Larry Hardesty's coming up. We're going to have baseball. It's Larry, so that's a great second choice. See everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.